This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds, like the breathable, silky smooth Tree Dasher, the responsive foam and extra grip of the Tree Runner, or the classic low-top look of the Tree Piper. Allbirds has a lightweight, ultra-packable shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Australian survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor. Losers.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Vincent Middle.
Gimlet. Swammer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million.
Shkeli. Aldi. Million. Rubli.
Travis Boat. Travis
Boat. Shiva Tottenham.
Ship.
Try.
Hello everyone, Shannon Guss here getting you ready for our supersized exit interview podcast. We have 4 exit interviews coming at you in this podcast. As I said last week, my interview with John was a little delayed in the week because he had work, so I didn't want to delay last week's whole podcast. I have attached that to the beginning of this podcast. Then around 14 minutes in, you should get the Matt Rogers chat, which I really enjoyed. So great to speak to the Godfather and get all of his thoughts. Probably, you know, not enough, but as much as we could get at this time. So it was great to chat to Matt Rogers. Around 32 minutes in, you'll hear from Phoebe, and she's been through a lot as well, so it was great to get her perspective on that. And then about 51 minutes in, you'll get Flick. I don't feel like we got enough content from her, so hopefully this satisfies that. So enjoy, and I will see you on the other side.
I'm a fragile. Take it easy on me.
Hi, John. Thank you so much for making some time for us on Rob Has a Podcast. I know it's been a big week for you with work and also with, you know, this show and how it went down this week. I'm really sorry to see you go in that very bad swap.
Yeah, no, it's all good. I mean, I had a good crack at it. I was lucky enough to have two goes at it, two bites at it. And gave it my best, but it is what it is.
Yeah, well, just to kind of take it back to the early days on Makuta, you obviously were with, like, some of the athletes. Who did you consider to be your closest allies?
Obviously, I had past ties with Abby. Mm-hmm. You know, me and Abby are quite close outside of the game as well, so that was always going to happen. Myself and Lydia seemed to connect right away. You know, we're both from the same place in Melbourne, so that was a no-brainer. And then me, survivor dad, Lee, you know, we struck up a pretty solid friendship that continues till now. So, yeah, they were probably my closest.
What about someone like Harry, who you worked with as a contender just a couple of months before you played? What was that relationship like?
Yeah, look, I feel like we were definitely looking out for each other the whole time altogether, you know, but I felt like that. That wasn't necessarily the case. But yeah, definitely I always have a soft spot for the people I already knew, and obviously had a soft spot for the people who I knew more publicly, you know.
Was there a lot of a target on the season for people in your relationships because you had played so recently?
Yeah, well, I know that Harry wanted to keep a lot of what happened on our season quiet because it hadn't, totally gone to air just yet. You know, Dave definitely played a big game, so there was definitely a target on his back. And then you got the people from season 1 and 2 whose games had virtually been forgotten at that stage. So, definitely we had a target on our backs. Well, I didn't because I didn't know what I was doing, but...
Yeah, I mean, we see you kind of fall in here with Shawnee's revenge plan at the swap. Did you have a particularly negative relationship with Shawnee or anything like that, or do you just feel like you had fallen on different sides?
No, like, Shawnee and I just, for some reason, didn't really strike up a conversation for, you know, probably the first week that we were there. And seeing as we didn't strike it up right away, we sort of there was a rift down the middle sort of thing. And we just found ourselves at different ends of the spectrum. And for that reason, we didn't really chat. There was definitely no ill will. There was no malice or anything like that. It's just part of the game.
Yeah, you know, obviously getting to the swap and she's coming back, and that's pretty unfortunate all round for your group. But did you feel that when you got to the swap? Did you think you were in a bad position, or did you really feel that you could kind of pull the Lockie side over and have the numbers there?
Look, I knew that our alliance was definitely in a bad spot, but I kind of thought that I would be able to weasel my way in with them if it came to the crunch. I figured I had a lot in common with, the young Vakama sort of alliance, mm-hmm. and whatnot. But, it just sort of didn't eventuate, unfortunately. And hats off to Shawnee, you know, she rose from the dead and then knocked us off pretty methodically, really.
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty lethal, you know, after Abby went home and then obviously Lydia did you have a lot of confidence that one of those flips that especially Matt was trying to produce would come off, or did you kind of feel like dead in the water?
Now, look, I definitely thought that, honestly thought that I'd be able to get Flick to swap, you know what I mean? And I'd done my best at the tribal to try and do that. I would have liked to have thought that Harry would have backed me there, you know, mm-hmm. but it wasn't the case. But, you know, at the end of the day, he's got his own best interests at heart, you know, so that's his prerogative. But, I thought that I could have changed Flick's mind. I thought that Harry would have backed me and that would have completely opened up the game. But,
Why were you targeting Flick in particular? Like, why was she the one you thought would swap?
I think it was pretty plain to see that Flick was on the bottom of that alliance. And as you know, when you've got an alliance that size, once they stop picking off members from outside of the alliance, they start lopping off the bottom rungs. So, yeah, that's why we had to try and appeal to that part of Flick, you know, that sort of paranoid, fragile, vulnerable Flick at the bottom of her alliance. But, she didn't grow the set that I wanted her to.
What made it feel obvious that she was on the bottom?
Well, obviously there was a fair bit of history with her and Brooke, mm-hmm. from her season. So obviously there was a little bit of ill will there, but it was just pretty clear. Like, you know, you had a power couple in Lockie and Brooke. You had AK there who was sort of, I don't know, maybe their general in terms of, you know, strategy and stuff like that. And yeah, Flick was way down the list.
Yeah, I can see that. Getting to more fun things, let's talk about the auction. The first thing I want to ask is, will you ever get to experience a Parma on Survivor? I feel like it evades you, and that's not cool.
I wasn't exactly stoked. I could have had that Parma, though, you know, but, mm-hmm. like, I just didn't have it in me to take food out of someone else's mouth, even if they were going to vote me out at the next tribal, you know. But, I had to have a little bit of fun with it, you know, bid on it and whatnot and piss Lockie off a little bit. But, I think the old Parmigiana has evaded me, so I won't be getting one of them on Survivor.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like this is just, like, cruel. I mean, they definitely had the Parma at the auction for you, I feel. And again, just didn't work out. It's just terrible. But you were never really ever going to double bid, do you feel, or you were just kind of having fun with it?
Yeah, look, I was having fun with it, and I really wanted to get under Lockie's skin. But at the end of the day, like, I was in a position where I was incredibly hungry, and I knew that everyone sitting there next to me was in much the same position. So whether they were in the alliance or not, I didn't really want to deny someone opportunity to quench their appetite.
Makes a lot of sense. John, I have to get your take on all the nudity, because I didn't get to talk to you the last season. It continued on. It's like a multi-season arc now, the whole John's butt of it all, which I really feel is like a feature of the series. What is your reaction? What is your family's reaction, your loved ones, to your butt being like a character on the show at this point, I feel?
My mum just shakes her head at me, I don't know, like, it kind of feels quite natural to me. Like, it's not like it's something I put on. It's just like, go out and have a tub, and you're not going to have a tub with your jocks on, you know what I mean? So, and it was good to get Lee involved. I think Lee said that I've got a ability to get him to do stupid things, which is, I'm pretty happy with that. You know, if I can get people to do stupid things alongside me, well, it takes the heat off me a little bit.
Yeah, well, I mean, I learned this week that Lee has won a butt competition before, so really this, like, the butt of it all is more than I anticipated going into watching Australian Survivor. On a more serious note, what was your experience of going back to play again so soon after you had just played?
I said after the first season that it's the hardest thing I've ever done, you know, to be starved, to actually be hungry. Like, everyone's been hungry, but no one's really been, you know, hungry in that sense. It gives you sort of a small understanding of how, you know, people go in famine and stuff like that. Like, you know, it puts you in their shoes, just a small taste of that. And to go through that a second time so soon after, it's obviously got its physical implications, but not only that, like, just the mental strain that you go through, the psychological strain, putting up with people's deceit and constantly lying. And, yeah, it takes its toll. So after, you know, two full seasons of it in, you know, succession, one after the other, it was pretty grueling.
Yeah, I mean, my hat's off to all of you guys for doing it once even, but to go back and do it again so soon is something very few people have ever done. So massive respect there. Was there anyone that you were looking forward to working with on the other side, you know, that you didn't ever get swapped with, that you were looking forward to, but you didn't get to ever meet up with them in the game?
Well, I would have liked to have met Tarzan because I reckon he looks like an interesting cat. But myself and Maddie Rogers, actually, you know, we had a bit of a chat, like, during a few of the different challenges just on the sly. And, you know, we briefly worked together before I got voted out. And I would have liked for that to have continued, you know, or for that to have happened sooner and us to have worked together and whatnot, because we bounced off each other well. And, you know, we're quite alike in certain ways. And, yeah, that would have been cool to do, so... Yeah.
What about, how do you think it would have gone with someone like Dave, who obviously, like, got revenge on Davey? You also voted him out. Do you feel like he would have been coming for you as well?
Yeah, I don't know. I've actually thought about that myself. Like, he hasn't alluded to that fact at all with me, but I'm not sure if he would have come after me. I dare say he would have. You know, if he had revenge on his mind, vengeance, then I was definitely on the list.
Yeah, I mean, you voted him out the same as Davey did. Like, I feel like not being on the same tribe as him was probably a bit of a gift.
Well, that's it. Like, it's nothing personal with him, you know what I mean? Like, it's literally just the game, but he was there for revenge, and, well, good on him. He got what he wanted.
Yeah, very personal, but in a game sense. It's theatrical, I think, a lot of the time with Dave, but unfortunately that did end Davey's game and could have gone pretty poorly maybe if you were on his tribe, because that's not a combination. I wouldn't want to be with a vengeful Dave, like, personally.
No, nor would I, but the best part about it was that Daisy thought that she was in such a strong position, you know, like, she was inside of a fort, and, little did she know that the sneaky assassin right there in the midst.
Plotting his revenge, very sad stuff. John, before I let you go, would you play again?
Would I play again? Oh, yeah, look, I'd never say no to anything, you know what I mean? But I'd love to be involved in, like, an Australia versus US or an Australia versus Britain or, you know, Trans-Tasman. I reckon that'd be awesome, but I dare say my days are done. But, yeah, I would.
Well, good to know. Did you have a lot of experience with Survivor before you went out to play, considering we didn't even get to chat to you in the last season, so I don't even really know your origin with the show?
I have a very limited knowledge of Survivor. I kind of got into it as a bit of a joke, a running joke, and once it happened, and now I have the greatest respect for the game. It really is, like, the toughest game you can play, I believe. So, I went in there with very little knowledge. I'm still not going to say I have anywhere near, like, not even in the same postcode, not even in the same country, the knowledge of, like, you know, your Harrys or your Daves or your Nicks or AKs, but I've definitely got a better understanding now than I did before, and, a much more healthy respect for the game.
I think two back-to-back seasons should give you quite a lot of knowledge. Not a lot of people have done that. Well, thank you so much for coming to chat with us. You know, John's butt is a legacy on the podcast, in the show, and I just think it'll be you and you will be, not just the butt stuff, but everything will be very well remembered.
No worries. Thanks very much for that.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Hello.
Matt, welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I think you played such an amazing game and was such a delight to watch the whole season. So thank you for coming on. I'm sorry that it went the way it did with that terrible swap.
Oh, man, it was, it sucked. I got to say, it was, I was excited when we got to like down to eight and I still had my idol. I thought we had a move to make and, unfortunately, I just couldn't quite pull it off. I was sort of like just trying to claw my way into a position the minute tribe swap happened and, I just couldn't quite get a real grasp. I couldn't build a strong enough relationship with someone to just sort of get a wink and run with it, you know? Like, I mean, as big as a move I played with Dave was, like, when we'd set the move in play, then all he had to do was whisper to me, Jackie, and the move was on, you know? I just couldn't quite get that to happen. Like, if it was that simple with Harry and he just sort of had to, like, go, yep, it's on, like, Lockie, we'd make that play and trade him out, but, you know, I couldn't make it happen. So, it was a little frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, we saw you appeal to pretty much everyone on that tribe for every different reason. Lockie about Harry and vice versa. Like, who did you feel from that group you had made the most inroads with?
No one really. It was all about the same. They're all worried about themselves. So I thought, well, how can I exploit that? Like, they're all like, all of them were about playing safe to get to merge. So I had to like find a way to exploit something that would, you know, sort of guarantee getting to merge or I had to put something out there that would be attractive. And it came to it like the only thing that I really had with Lockie was, man, if you go to merge as a minority and I'm not there, you guys are getting voted. You're going to get voted out because all my guys are over there and they're going to be pretty annoyed. You got rid of me. And you know, he was there. I mean, he was listening, but, AK wasn't drinking the Kool-Aid, unfortunately, and he wouldn't buy into it and ended up, Rocky sort of stuck with AK. And today, you know, AK is sort of playing this shrewd sort of game, like the strategist and whatever. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's not overly exciting yet. I hope it gets exciting for their sake, because I reckon if it doesn't, then I'll probably regret it. I'll probably think, man, I wish I'd have done more. But, you know, who knows? Time will tell.
To be fair, like, to you, Matt, like, you know, you're so much of a threat. So I think it's kind of like a compliment where maybe if it's someone else, the numbers should be kind of, you know, shaken up. But you're such a threat in and of itself. Like, that is a scary move to make. But, like, for someone like Lockie, we saw that relationship so much between you, and it was kind of like adversarial but friendly. Like, how did you see that dynamic?
Man, you know what, if Lockie and I teamed up on day one, we would have been unstoppable, but we didn't, and he sort of had, it was like it just all happened before my eyes, and me and him all of a sudden were pitted against each other. Like, if we'd got together on day one and started working together, we would have killed it. But you know, he was, you know, on the other side, and the battle lines got drawn pretty early, and I wasn't in the plans, and Jerry got blindsided, and then it was game on. You know, I was like, man, you just lied to me about who you're going to vote out. You're blindsided. You know, I mean, it was salvageable, but then it got to a point where it just became unsalvageable. You know, there was too much lying and stuff going on between us, and he wasn't going to trust me, and I wasn't going to trust him. But, man, I got to say, like, man, he's played a good game, like, right to this point. Like, Lockie and Brooke, and probably AK, like, they're sat in numbers, and they've been smart about the sort of the way that they've played the game. And they haven't done anything too crazy. They've sort of survived. But it was sort of like my vote out, I think, was the time when they needed to actually do something a little bit left of centre. Because, you know, in those early days, you've got to do that. But then you've got to sort of start to think, like, down the track, what's this look like without him here, or what's this look like with him here? And, you know, I got saved in my first season by Shane Gould before merge. Like, she saved me. There was, a little plot being hatched behind me. by Brian to bring Shane in and vote me out. And it would have been a full-on blindside, and I had an idol, and I would have been gone. But she saved me, and it changed the whole way I treated Shane Gould in that entire show. Like, it literally formed a loyalty within inside me, like, right, I've got to protect her. I've got to look after her, you know. And when you get saved by someone in the game, it does give that, well, certainly for me, it sort of made me want to, it would have made me want to sort of help someone if they trim your bone. So, look, you got to pick sides in the game. I don't hold any grudges at all. Like, they're doing what they think they need to do to get on in the game, and I'm here talking to you, so they're obviously doing something right. So, yeah.
I mean, we saw some conversations on social media that haven't made the show about how close a flip really was going to happen during the John vote, with Flick and Harry and Shawnee to vote for Brooke, and that all got blown up. Can you talk about that a bit from your perspective?
Yeah, I can. I mean, there was a little that didn't, there was a lot of it that didn't get in the show because it was sort of off camera, so it's hard to talk about. But at the end of the day, we had a conversation around the world that was on the show, like, let's make a move. And they wanted to, I threw Lockie's name into the mix, and Harry said Brooke. And to be honest, like, I didn't care whether it was Brooke or Lockie. It just didn't bother me. And then, you know, Harry wanted to have another conversation after that and dragged me down the beach and said, righto, we'll make it Lockie and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, yeah, cool, righto. We walked, as we start to walk back to the tent, like, to the shelter, mate, Lockie's hiding behind a tree listening to our conversation. So I'm like, oh, he's just heard everything. I go back there and AK's like, what's going on? Where is everyone? I'm like, oh, mate, Harry just dragged me down the beach to tell me what was going on. Like, you know, we're going to vote for Lockie and blah, blah. But, you know, I'm with you guys, you know, I'm with you, you know. But I wasn't. Like, but I'm just trying to, you know, make them feel sort of safe and whatever. And I thought Harry would have done the same thing, like throw me under the bus, but really not, you know, and we worked together and, you know, he sort of did everything right. And then we got to the vote and the vote didn't go my way. But I felt it, like, in that afternoon, like, I was just like, man, something's amiss here. There's something off. Like, there's no, I wasn't feeling the vibe that I was feeling when I'd talked to Harry before. And I just knew that they were coming for me. So, yeah, I played my idol.
What about someone like Flick? You know, there was definitely some fears about how close you were to her. Was that a particular inroad that you had, or a particular relationship that was close, or kind of the same as everyone else?
No, it was sort of the same. I mean, Flick, she was sort of bouncing around a bit. I mean, she confirmed to me that I needed to play my idol. She, you know, like that tribal, like I was like, I whispered to her, I'm going to play my idol. And she's like, yeah, play it. But she didn't give me any more information than that. Like, if she told me the vote was going to be 3-3, it would have been helpful because I could have not played it and voted for Johnny and kept it, you know, like. And, you know, Johnny, the vote before, when Johnny voted for me, he actually told me not to play my idol then, because we'd sort of had a bit of a chat about, like, okay, we've got to get down to 8 and then you're going to be okay. Don't worry, you'll be fine. You know, we'll, like, there's a lot of stuff, like, just little bits that, I mean, if they put every conversation in the show, the show's going to go for 8 hours.
And I mean, it kind of does, but yeah.
Yeah, they just hit the important parts of the show and they follow the storyline that goes to someone getting voted out. And, you know, I think the producers do an amazing job, but, you know, I know there's some people going, oh, the editing this and the editing that. It's like, man, come on, guys. It's 3 days they're trying to cram into 60 minutes. Like, give them a break. They're doing a great job with it. And I think the show's come up really well again.
I want to talk about the Dave of it all. Obviously, such a huge thing, your cross-alliance. I'm interested to hear a couple of things. Like, what was the plan after that vote? You never go back to tribal council after Davey goes home. We've heard rumors on social media that you had told some people that Dave was the mole. Where was that relationship when we left it at the swap?
Man, there was no way in the world I'd told any people that Dave was the mole.
Interesting.
Like, no chance. Like, it was Dave and I. And Moana knew that I was working with Dave because I trusted Mo with everything. But Tarzan didn't know and he didn't want to know. Jackie didn't know. Mo knew and Dave and I knew. That was it. And Mo wasn't telling anyone, that's for sure. And that would have been a strong relationship if we got the form back together. The one thing that would have changed the entire game was if, you know, AK or Lockie at Tribe Swap got Dave's buff and Dave stayed with me, because I know we would have been able to wreak havoc in the tribe if Dave was with us. And that would have been a different kettle of fish. I think that's the only thing that probably could have saved me, because I never really sort of got my footing after Tribestop. It was just, you know, to lose, you know, maybe two or three, alliance members is tough. But to lose four, to lose every one of them, it was put me into a position where I sort of was scratching my way around. And yeah, look, it's a game. It's, you know, you have luck, you have a bit of luck. I found an idol in front of everyone. Like, that was lucky. Like, it didn't happen. And then, you know, I got tribe swapped into a bad situation. That's the game. Mm-hmm. You got to do your best to work your way out of it. So I don't begrudge it at all, but that certainly would have been the thing that changed it. But no one knew about that alliance at all.
Had you and Dave had conversations about who you thought would go next? Because obviously he'd wanted revenge on Daisy. Was there anyone that either of you was willing to give up next, considering between the two of you, you were aligned with the entire tribe?
You know, I think if we had lost again, mm-hmm. I think Flick would have gone, mm-hmm. because I think because Lockie and Brooke were sort of, you know, in conversation, were probably willing to cut Flick loose. So I was sort of like, and that was I'm like, you give me your weakest person, I've got the idol. And we'd had conversations with it. None of us really wanted to give anyone up. But I think if it came to the crunch, Lockie would have known that I would have found out who was going to vote. And Lockie wanted to have some form of control. And Lockie's a leader, you know, like he plays a good game. He's good out in the wild. He's like, you know, he's a good player, you know, and if you don't have control, you're a chance of going out. So I'm pretty confident that had we gone to tribal, I would have been able to get him to forfeit someone to me, just out of the pure nature that if he didn't, I probably would have voted him out, because he wouldn't have known. So and that would have, you know, probably brought us together. You know, like, it probably would have brought us together, which who knows where it could have gone from there.
Just looking at, like, your whole experience, it was so different from the first time you played. You know, the first time you had control of the entire game, and this time you had control, but you were fighting a lot from the bottom. So that's been really interesting to see that dichotomy. Talk about the difference between those two experiences. Like, which one did you enjoy more? Because it kind of felt like you were having a little bit of fun with this and a little bit of fun with Lockie, but obviously it's also probably pretty fun to be, like, the actual full-on godfather.
Yeah, it was good. Both seasons were great, but I've got to say, like, I think you see a clearer path when you're on the bottom. You can sort of see things a little better because you're constantly scanning of how to get through to the next move, or, you know, what you can do. Like, I mean, even the move that I sort of concocted to get rid of Daisy. I mean, it was David's plan to remove Daisy in terms of the person, but I had to think, like, how am I going to do this? You know, I've got to get an idol somehow. Okay, Henry's got an idol. I've got to get that off him. I've got to see him at a challenge. Tell him that I need that idol. If we lose this challenge, you've got to give it to me. And then I've got to convince Dave to give me the person who they're going to... Like, it was just the layers to it. It was pretty technical. So, I mean, if you're not in that position, you're not thinking about that stuff. So, I mean, I was pretty proud of the fact that we were able to pull that off. And then I could still, like, even at Tribes Hop, you know, once we got through, Abby got voted out, and then, you know, watching it back, they didn't go through with Lydia's plan to, like, you know, vote Matt out with an idol. If he plays his idol, I go home. Like, it's no skin off anyone's nose. Matt gets rid of the idol, but they didn't do that. And I got to hold on to my idol. I'm thinking, in the game, I'm thinking, man, I'm a chance here. I'm a big chance to make a play here and shift this whole balance of power in the tribe. And, you know, it was just that situation with Harry and him thinking that I threw him under the bus. It's like, man, we got thrown under the bus by ourselves. Like, Lockie was there watching us have the conversation in the middle of the night, you know, down the path. We weren't talking about what flavor rice we like or voting each other out. It was pretty obvious what was going on. And, you know, we needed to own it and then go after him. And unfortunately, Harry couldn't, you know, for some reason. He wanted to be some sort of genius play, which, to be honest, it was a genius play because he'd done what he needed to do. He'd flipped everyone back to voting against me. And I thought, man, this is on, you know. And then, an hour or so before tribal, it was like the mood shifted. And I'm like, I'm not getting any info here. This is not ideal. And then some weird stuff was getting said. I'm like, that is so far off what I was even thinking might happen, and I realised I'm in trouble.
When you actually went home and you voted for Shawnee, did you have any hope at all that it was going to go your way, or you just knew it was done?
I knew it was done. You know, I pitched, and you know, I mean, it was still. Flick still could have changed that whole vote. Then, I mean, Flick could have told me that there was two votes going to Harry, mm-hmm. and if she votes for Harry and I vote for Harry, like Harry goes home. You know, I mean, that's. So there was still an opportunity to make a play, but no one wanted to make the plays. You know, like, and even yeah, it was sort of frustrating because I mean. Flick was telling me that she wanted to work with me, but it never actually eventuated. You know, there was a few things said, but nothing eventuated. And things have got to eventuate to make it happen in the game, you know, and nothing quite eventuated. So it was sort of pretty frustrating that, like watching it back going, man, so you're telling me it was a 3-3 vote on Johnny and I had an idol. I could have just voted for Johnny and kept the idol. Mm. Like, yeah, I'm like, well, if you wanted to work with me, why didn't you tell me that? And yeah, I wouldn't have blown back on her at all, you know, and it was sort of a few of those little things at moments I look back and I'm like, man, there was such a big opportunity missed, you know, and I would have loved to have sort of, you know, made more moves in the game, but, you know, you can't, you know, cry over spilled milk, you know, you just got to get on with it. And yeah, I thought, you know, I could have made some bigger moves or sort of some more moves to sort of. But I think what really killed me was the food auction and Phoebe speaking to AK and giving AK the whole, like, Mo's running the tribe mm-hmm. over here and blah, blah, blah. And then AK coming back to Lockie and going, Matt cannot get the merge. You know, he's got all the power over there. If we take the merge, we're done, blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, I think that was probably what really filled my fate, and it probably wouldn't have really mattered what anybody did. They were coming for me regardless.
Yeah. I mean, Matt, you made a lot of moves. Like, definitely don't look back at regret with any of that. So much of that requires perfect information, which we obviously have as viewers, but on the island you don't have, so that makes it pretty impossible. Before I let you go, last question is, would you play again?
Oh, man, I'd go in this afternoon if someone called. They said the plane's at Brisbane Airport. I'm in Brisbane. You've got to be there in 20 minutes. I'd be straight on the plane. It's a great game. Like, I watched Survivor 21 years ago when, you know, Richard Hatch won. And I've watched many seasons since. And, you know, I think Australian Survivor is now up there with the best Survivor franchise in the world. And I feel honoured to not just play it once, but to play it twice, to be in All-Stars. It was phenomenal. You know, to all my fellow contestants, you know, it was a pleasure and a privilege to play with them. And to all the fans that make the game what it is, you know, thank you, because it was something special.
Oh, well, thanks so much, Matt. As I said, you've been a complete highlight as a player and character this season. Loved watching everything that you did, and just sorry to see you go.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Bye.
No, bye-bye.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Hello. Hi, Shannon.
Welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. I'm so sorry to see everything that went down. That was, yeah, brutal. We all know, but I hope you're doing okay. Thank you for coming onto the podcast.
Thanks, Shannon. And thanks for your support. I haven't gotten around to messages and stuff, but I think I saw that you sent me one. And yeah, thank you. Oh. I can see that you have publicly supported me, and I'm really grateful. So thank you.
Yeah, I mean, of course, it was a lot to watch. I can't imagine experiencing it. Definitely a lot of fans are very upset, so they'll be glad to hear from you. But I do think we have to kind of start with the Dave of it all. And, you know, you mentioned on the show very briefly that you'd had your doubts after the Davey vote. So what was happening briefly pre-swap and getting to that swap with how you and your alliance felt about David?
So, so I had my doubts because we did know David was the mole. We kind of figured that out probably, I think it was the next morning. I don't remember who first raised it. It might have been Brooke. But, yeah, we pieced it together and then, you know, it kind of made sense. The thing about David, though, even though we knew he was the mole, David does play a great social game. So it was almost like this regretful tone that we're like, oh, no, we're going to have to take him out, which is ridiculous considering how good he is at that game. But that was sort of what it was like because we all actually were having a lot of fun and we enjoyed being around him. But we decided that we had to be cautious of him. And then we came to the conclusion that we'd need to blindside him because Matt found the other idol. So obviously that changed everything. So as soon as Matt found the other idol, obviously we got together and we were like, oh my gosh, like he's working with Matt, obviously, and we're going to have to take him out because the risk if we lose again is that we will suffer the same fate as Daisy and they will just do the same thing and idol out someone in our alliance again. So obviously we weren't going to have that happen.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. That's an iffy person to be the only ally you're swapped with as well. So that's unfortunate. And another thing is that Dave obviously seemed to really want to go after Nick, who you were working with. So how did you try and manage that relationship between Dave and Nick, who were at odds in the early days of the swap?
Sure. So I will. Sorry, just to your first question, one more thing I didn't want to say was that when I said to Dave on the beach, I had my doubts after the Daisy blindside. This conversation took place after the Fire Tribal.
Mm-hmm.
And I went all in on David after the Fire Tribal for reasons that will probably come to. So I was cautious of Dave and I was conscious of the fact that he wasn't someone that you could necessarily trust. But in that same conversation with him where, it, you know, he knew at that point that we knew about Daisy, he explained to me that that was due to his desire for revenge and related to his first season, which I actually had not seen a lot of. So I kind of understood that because, you know, if it's one of those things where if someone I knew knew my game in and out and I thought they were going to play, you know, based on the old season, like, I don't know, Christy Bennett, who knows, you know, if I was on the same beach as like a Craig or something like that, like I potentially want to have my shot while I could as well. So I did understand his motivations for the Daisy blindside and I kind of thought it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, he wants me gone as well. So I guess that's just to add to it. Now, to your next question in relation to Nick and David. David got to Makuta and immediately wanted to target Nick. I got to Makuta and immediately felt the wrath of the former minority at Vakama, and it wasn't comfortable. When we got to the beach, they threw the majority under the bus to an extent that it was unpleasant. Like, there were all sorts of comments being made, like, if I ever go back to that beach, I'll quit. It was so horrible, all this other stuff. And it's not to diminish their experience, but I think it all just went a bit far. And I think that whilst I never had any issues with them over at the other beach, in fact, I had a pretty good relationship with Tarzan and Jackie, actually, especially Tarzan, I think a projection of being on the bottom and me being there, being the only person that represented that majority on the same beach mm-hmm. as them. And also, you know, the fact that David had been feeding them information, like obviously I was the person that they saw as the enemy. So it was tricky. I was feeling the heat of that. David wanted to target Nick, and Nick was working with Lee and Sean. So there were some really complicated dynamics going on. And before that vote, I said to David, look, you don't have the numbers for Nick. And he said, Phoebe, it's Nick Blindside, it's done, it's done. I did tell him that he couldn't, he didn't have the numbers, but he just didn't believe me. And the reason I knew he didn't have the numbers was because Lee and Sean, who were crucial to that vote, were playing everyone and playing both sides, particularly Sean. And, you know, she had sort of promised the world to Lee, myself and Nick, and then she'd also done the same thing with Moana and Lee, and I guess those two votes were really the deciding votes. But David, you know, he believed Mo and he believed Sean, and he thought that they were on board for Nick. So it was complicated. And before that tribal, just before we left, I said to Sean, because she had another conversation with Mo and I saw it, and I said, who are you voting for? And she sort of panicked in the moment and she was like, who we said, Nick. And I was like, oh God. And that's when it dawned on me that she was voting for me, because I knew it was not, she was never voting for Nick. So yeah, I was nervous going into that tribal as well.
Yeah, I mean, when you're in three plans, it can get confusing. Had you told Dave about the plan for Mo? Had he been brought into? Because I think we see you discuss that he would be a number for you, but we don't actually see any conversation on the show.
Had I told Dave about the plan for Mo?
Yeah, that first one.
So what I had told him was like, no, Dave, like you don't have the numbers for Nick. I said, Mo's gunning for me. They're voting for me. And he's like, no, Phoebs, Mo's down. Mo's voting for Nick. It's a Nick blindside. And I was like, Dave, like, it's not going to happen. Like, Sean, you know, has told me it's not. But there were so many conversations and it was last minute. I don't know if I ever actually said I'm voting Mo, but I certainly told him he didn't have the numbers and that I definitely expressed that discomfort in going for Nick. And I said, look, I'm not on board for Nick. So, you know, I don't think I fully said that I was voting for Mo because I didn't want to reveal the potential new alliance forming with Lee, Sean, Nick and myself as a sub kind of thing. So I didn't go overboard, but he knew that I wasn't voting for Nick. Like, I think he knew I was going to vote Mo, so...
Yeah, I mean, if you're not voting for Nick, you're not voting for yourself. There has to be a third option. Yeah. So
yeah.
He listened.
I mean, he might not have known, but he certainly knew I was uncomfortable. Like, I don't think he thought that I was, like, distrustful or, you know, I don't know. I think there was a big storyline around how I didn't vote with him and therefore I'm untrustworthy, but I don't think it's as quite like that or quite as black and white as that. And, you know, when we got back, actually, there was this whole thing as well where it came out that Mo, he did find out that Mo actually obviously voted for me with Lee and Sean, and he knew that Mo had lied to him. And I don't know, he was weirdly not angry about that. So I don't know.
Neither do I, Phoebe, I gotta say. So did you find anything kind of shift in your relationship with him? Because we see him come back after that vote, like, on the warpath, and obviously you're still putting trust into him and you tell him about the clue and everything like that. And he seems to have completely changed, but obviously you still are needing to rely on him. Did you sense that shift in him at all?
You know, I really didn't. I really didn't sense that shift in him. I think... even looking back, there's nothing obvious to me. I know it's obvious to the viewer in his confessionals, and we see a lot of David performing, but there were, you know, he was my person and I wasn't having the easiest time out there. It wasn't the nicest vibe for me. I wasn't welcome at that camp and I was on the receiving end of some difficult behavior, and I think to sort of deal with. And I think, David was the person that actually got me through, like, in terms of emotionally and sort of, you know, he's like, come on, Phoebs, we keep fighting. Like, he made me feel like he had my back. So I didn't see anything obvious. I guess that's all I can say about that. He made me feel like he was with me, and I went all in on him as well. And like I said, we had those conversations and we had them multiple times. You know, about what had happened and everything. And, yeah, it seems I went all in on him. after that Fire Tribal night, particularly because I had, you know, it was him and Nick, and I was with Nick as well, but Nick kept wanting to push the Lee and Sean thing, and they had lied to me so much before the Fire Tribal that although I worked with him at those relationships, and, you know, we actually flipped to them, they voted with us at my next vote. Although that was the case, I still, and I very much trusted Lee going into the next tribal. Sean, for me, I mean, she was flipping and flopping all over the place. So I couldn't trust her.
Lee is such an interesting one because, you know, you guys worked together on the earliest days of Aganoa, way back when. Was that connection, you know, prevalent when you came back, the fact that you had worked together so many years ago?
You know, I thought that it would be. And because what we had, what in my mind, I was like, well, we have tried and tested trust and also a personal relationship in the real world. And, you know, it's an interesting one because when you are friends and you are all going out there, you do know who's going to go. And, yeah, like mostly. So it's just something that I'm only ever going to be authentic and honest in all of my, you know, in terms of like the experience from start to finish. And there's no denying conversations took place between lots and lots of people before the game started. So, yeah, it definitely hurt me that Lee voted for me on that first vote because we are friends and, you know, I did think that we'd be taking care of each other for as long as we could.
I mean, you've indicated, you know, that it was difficult out there and kind of the experience with some of the people who'd been on the opposite alliance at the beginning. It seemed really personal with the Mo stuff. Like, it seemed like in that tribal council was very heated. Is there anything you'd be kind of comfortable to share about that experience and relationship of, like, why it was so negative?
Sorry, do you mean with Moana?
Yeah.
Look, I guess I can't speak to, you know, to that because I don't know why it got like that. I just know what I experienced. And I know that I did my absolute best to respond in a way that was, you know, in the spirit of strategy at all times. And I guess I just want to be conscious that, I mean, I know everyone's doing their best and we're all in an environment that is really high pressured and stressful and we're all invested in our experience. So it's okay that it wasn't easy, but I guess I also want to just say that, yeah, I mean, it wasn't easy. So, yeah, I guess I don't want to go too far down that conversation route. Yeah.
Completely understandable. After Fire and coming back, did you have a lot of hope that you could shift things around? And obviously Sean and Lee are everywhere and, you know, getting back on the same page with Dave, did you have a lot of hope that you wouldn't just have to be going home at the next tribal council?
So, yeah, so the votes I thought I had for the next tribal council, it's interesting because, you know, there's always, oh no, the idol, why did you do it and all that kind of thing. But look, go down the what ifs. Okay, so I know at that tribal council it's me or Moana. So maybe, let's say I find it. I know it's me or Mo. And so maybe I play it just on the basis of the fact that it's 50-50. And if you're at 50-50, maybe you just don't take any chances and you play it. I might have done that. However, going into that tribal, I knew I had my vote. I knew I had Nick's vote. We knew we had Nick's extra vote. We knew we had Lee's vote. That's four. And I thought David was voting with me. That's five. So imagine if I didn't play it, if I found it and I didn't. So, you know, going into it, yeah, I was hopeful. Mm-hmm. I knew I was catching votes. There were lots of conversations. There were lots I wasn't part of. I was doing my absolute best to scramble and hustle from the bottom. And I did have good relationships with people out there. Like Tarzan and I had a beautiful relationship. I got on super well with Zach. David and I had a great relationship. Sean and I had a connection. Lee and I had a relationship. Nick and I had a relationship. You know, I guess besides Moana and Jackie, who, you know, I guess I didn't really connect with on the island, it's not that I didn't have the relationships. I did what I could do, but I think, you know, it was really easy for people to kind of have this common enemy and this public enemy number one. Everyone's just kind of excited that we're winning challenges and they're not on the bottom. And it's, you know, and also I have this huge reputation. I'm considered a massive strategic threat by absolutely everybody there, and I'm totally unmarked, and I think people also wanted to take their shot. So there was a lot to it, but I was hopeful.
Yeah, for sure. Going back to the early days of Vakama, who did you consider your closest allies in that big dominant alliance we saw?
Look, I think I was sitting in a really good spot because, like I said, I had actually had some good relationships in the Minority Alliance. So I had a great relationship with Tarzan and a really good relationship with Jericho. So I didn't think the Minority would ever target me. So that was a good spot to be in. And in terms of the Majority, I had a one-on-one relationship with everybody. Brooke, Flick, who are real life friends as well. AK was super, super close with him. Lockie and Dave, you know, I mean, Dave and I were like, you know, I think people are always conscious of the Phoebe-Dave connection because we were so tight. So I was close with all of them. And then in addition to that, we had, like, alliances within the alliance. Like, I mean, I had an alliance with me, Brooke and Flick. There was an alliance with me, Flick and AK. There was an alliance with myself, Brooke, Lockie and AK. There was an alliance with just me and Dave. There was, like, you know, myself, AK, and I mean, I'm getting confused in all my alliances within the alliances. So there were lots of, I was very well embedded in that alliance. One thing that you guys probably don't appreciate so much as an audience is it looks like I'm playing the swing vote, but I wasn't playing the swing vote. I was trying to signal to the Minority that I'm not in a power position within that Majority alliance. And by acting as though I wasn't in a power position, the Minority, I figured, would be less likely to sort of idle me out or take me out because, you know, I wasn't the kingpin. So that's why you see scenes of me early on being like, oh, they've all just walked off without me and stuff like that, because I was constantly kind of saying I don't feel comfortable in that big group. It was really just to kind of disarm the Minority in terms of, towards, you know, and sort of endear them towards me as someone that they could pull in.
Yeah, such a good position and then wrecked by this terrible swap. I know that you have to go, but quickly before you do, would you play again?
I am so, so grateful that I got to play twice, but I think I've realized that I've given it everything, Shannon. Like, I've given everything I possibly can to that game. I played with my heart. I put everything on the line, and, you know, it wasn't to be for me. And I think for me, it's time for new dreams now.
I think that will devastate a lot of already mourning fans. So maybe we'll put it in the too hard part for now. We will check on it in a bit.
You never, ever, ever say never. Of course not. And, you know, it's pretty raw, and I've just been through a lot. So, you know, never, ever say never. But, you know, I think I do want to actively move on with my life at this point. Yeah.
Yeah, understandable. But, you know, the fans love you. We are thinking of you, you know, just sending a lot of love to you. And it was a really bad swap, Phoebe, as you know. It was a bad situation to be in, but the fans are behind you, and we just really hope you're doing okay. Thanks for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you. Much love. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
Flick, welcome to Rob Has a Podcast. Thank you for coming on. I'm so sorry to see your journey end last night. I think I speak for a lot of people when I say we would have liked to see a lot more of it.
Thank you so much. And yeah, I'm really sad that my journey has come to an end, but I'm just grateful that I was asked to play again. And yeah, I can say that I've played the world's greatest game twice. So not a lot of people can say that.
It's true. I mean, that is pretty good. I think we mostly need to talk about Brooke to begin with, because we saw this kind of play out last night, and obviously we were on the same tribe the whole time. So obviously, having been through what you've been through in your original season, but now having a friendship, what had your relationship been like throughout the season?
Throughout the season, mine and Brooke's relationship was really good. I guess a lot of that wasn't shown, but we were quite close. Obviously, there were trust issues for both of us. We knew that we could never completely trust one another, because someone would always be wanting to make the first move. And that was me. I actually tried to make the first move with Matt, Harry and John. But unfortunately, that part wasn't really shown. Harry pulled out because I think Matt told AK about the plan. And I guess kind of everything just exploded. So I did want to make a really big move, and I tried, but unfortunately, because Harry pulled out, we couldn't really go ahead with that plan.
Yeah, and is that why Brooke would have been the target of that, because of that kind of like adversarial relationship you'd had in the past?
Yeah, Brooke was definitely the target for me, for my game, because I knew that she would be coming after me at some point. So I just knew I had to make the first move first. And for me, I guess even after that, Brooke found out about the plan, obviously, and I just played dumb, like, oh no, Matt was saying, Lockie, your name was never even said, and kind of just played it dumb like that.
In terms of your actual vote out last night, you know, we saw it largely attributed to Brooke. AK said some stuff online that it kind of wasn't what we saw. Who do you kind of think was leading that charge?
Look, I think the best thing to do would probably be ask AK about that. I mean, going in, I knew what was what my story of it was going to happen. But yeah, like I said, I think you'll have to wait to talk to AK about that. Yeah, I can't really comment on that too much.
Did you feel very confident going into Tribal Council, or did you feel concerned?
I felt confident going into Tribal Council, but not like not really, really confident. I knew that two votes were coming my way. I knew that Shawnee and Harry were both voting for me, so that I already knew. But I didn't think that Brooke and Lockie would flip, and if they did, I thought AK would have told me, because AK and myself, we actually had a very, very close friendship out there, and obviously a lot of that wasn't shown, but I never thought that he would turn on me, because obviously we were each other's number ones out there.
We didn't get to see enough, as I've said, of your time out there. So just in terms of like your personal relationships, who did you see, like other than AK, who you've said you were close to, who did you really see as like your tightest allies throughout the game?
So throughout the game, I guess my closest allies early on was, before she left, was Daisy. We were very, very, very close. I was also close with Jackie as well, even though she was in another alliance. Me and Jackie were very close, and we had our own little secret alliance going on as well. And then also I was very close with Dave and Phoebe. They were probably my top two in the original Vakama. I guess the tribe's what kind of screwed me in that way, that I lost two of my closest allies, but I still had some of my alliance members. And obviously, you know, if you're put in that situation, you can't just completely flip on your alliance members at tribe swap. Otherwise, I mean, it's never going to be good long term. So the best thing for all of us to do was just to stick together until merge. And obviously, I did try and make a move to get rid of Brooke and still keep some of those alliance members. But yeah, unfortunately, that didn't happen.
We say you were close with Dave, and there's been some stuff online, and Phoebe said in the episode she had her doubts about Dave after the Daisy vote, and you've said online that you kind of knew he was the mole. So can you talk us through what we didn't see there?
Yeah, so I knew that Dave was convincing Brooke to play the idol for him, even though obviously he wasn't going to get any votes. Anyone would know that Matt Rogers would not be voting Dave out that early, because they're all about, you know, strength and whatnot, and why would you get rid of one of your strongest players? So I knew that the votes weren't going for Dave that night. Daisy and I told Brooke that it wasn't him and not to play it for him. And I thought it could be me, and then Daisy thought it could be her. So we were kind of saying play it for one of us. But Brooke, I guess, was charmed by Dave and played it for him. So for him, that's like really good gameplay because he was able to convince Brooke to play it for him, even though a few of us convinced her otherwise. So I guess that's kind of like that point there.
So that's why you thought he was the mole. Had anyone said anything to you about it, or was just a feeling?
No, yeah, after that, we definitely knew he was the mole. I knew straight away. I was like, there's no way that Matt just knew that. And Dave was very sneaky. Dave was waking up every night, walking around. He'd go missing. That's kind of a player that, I mean, yeah, he can think he's being smart and everything like that, but that's when people get doubts and that's when people get worried about certain people, like players. So I don't think that was a great move for him to make, sneaking around so much, because that put doubts in our minds about him, and we all knew he was the mole and we were going to blindside him before the tribe swap happened.
Well, it's so interesting. I continue to think that it would have been really interesting to see that tribe go back to tribal council after that vote, but unfortunately we didn't get to see it.
Dave would have gone home.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Maybe we don't want to lose Dave from the game. That's probably a fair point. So what was your relationship like with Matt Rogers? Because we saw the people thought that you were close and were kind of worried about that. Was there that closeness there?
So I guess when the tribe swap happened, myself and Matt definitely grew a relationship together. We had our own little alliance. It was called the GC Alliance because we're both from the Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. So we got quite close, and I wanted to look after Matt because that was beneficial for my game. If I was thinking of my long-term game, so making the merge, I knew that he had numbers on the other side, I had numbers on the other side, and we could have worked together. And if I gave him my loyalty, I know that I would get loyalty back from him. He's that kind of player. He is a very, very good player, though. He obviously was playing from the bottom a lot in Survivor, which is unfortunate because obviously he could have done really well if he was playing on the top. But he chose in the beginning, I guess, to side with Mo and those players. So I guess it was kind of his own downfall earlier on. But Matt and I did have a great friendship out there and a good alliance too. And I saved him on the Lydia vote. They all wanted it, as you can see from what was shown, AK wanted it to be Matt. So they all wanted to change it back to Matt, and I convinced them that it had to stay to Lydia. And that the reason for that was because I wanted Lydia gone because she was a challenge threat and she was getting way too close with AK and Brooke, and that concerns me. And then obviously the next one, I convinced Matt to play his idol because I knew the votes would be going for John. And at that point, obviously, Harry had pulled out of the plan that we were going to be voting for Brooke, even though Matt was saying to be voting for Lockie. So, yeah, it all gets a little bit crazy, but, yeah, there was a lot happening. There was a lot happening, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, to kind of touch on that, obviously, you know, to go 9 episodes without a confessional, which the community was pretty angry about, understandably, and, like, not having that airtime when you've had that experience, when you are an all-star, when you're the top confessional getter of season one, can you talk to us a little bit about what that experience is like?
Yeah, I guess for me, like, it was a little bit of a shock and disappointment watching it back because obviously, you know, there was a lot that I was involved in that wasn't shown. But I guess at the end of the day, like, it's a TV show and, you know, it's they can only show so much. So unfortunately, they couldn't show the moves that I was a part of, but I was playing the game and other people were playing the game. But unfortunately, it just didn't make the cut.
Yeah, was there anything besides the stuff you've already touched on that you like was really you were really hoping would make the edit that didn't make it?
Not really. Like just pretty much the stuff that we've kind of touched on. I was very social out there, but yeah, I definitely was trying to make moves. I was trying to make it happen. So I get a lot of feedback from fans saying, "Why didn't you go with the John vote, or why didn't you do this?" And it's like, "Well, I tried. You guys just didn't see it. I was trying to make a big move, and I did try and make a big move against Brooke, but unfortunately, the numbers pulled out, and yeah, the odds were against me."
Yeah, well, if you'd made it to the merge, which should be coming up soon, what were your long-term plans for the game?
My long-term plans would have been to link back up with Dave. And also, Jackie was someone that I could see going into my long-term game. I feel like Jackie would have been someone that I would have liked to sit next to at the end. So for me, I wanted to... have a good alliance and have some people that I could trust. So I wanted to play a very individual game going into merge, have a solid alliance and be able to kind of move and weather in and out of people. So I think in All-Stars, and I think, you know, when you've got returning players, it's not as simple as one alliance or the other. I think you need to have relationships with absolutely everyone if you want to get to the end.
Yeah, that kind of what you had on the original Vakma as well. I mean, you spoke about Jackie. Did you have those relationships with like Mo and Tarzan as well?
Definitely. I think for me, like I did try talk to Mo a lot out there, and I wanted to try and make that relationship happen. Yeah, Mo was very quiet out there. So it was hard to kind of have those one-on-one conversations, but we did actually have a one-on-one conversation the morning of the tribe swap, which is funny enough. And we spoke about our families and we got quite deep actually. So that was quite nice too. But yeah, I definitely had relationships with people in the other alliance. So I feel like if going into merge, I would have been in a very good position, which absolutely sucks because I was so close.
Mm-hmm. Was there anyone that you were looking forward to working with that you just didn't get on the same tribe as them?
Do you mean that went before me or?
Yeah, or I mean, who was on the other tribe? Nick, Sean, Lee, you didn't ever get to catch up with?
Yeah, absolutely devastated that I didn't get to play with Nick and Lee because obviously I love my season one Survivor players. You know, we're the OG, you know, the original Survivor players. So I would have loved to play with them. And then also I really, really wanted to play with Sean as well. She was someone that I could see myself working with. So I was disappointed that I never got to play with her.
Yeah, well, would you play again? I know this has been a bit of a strange experience. Obviously, getting to go out there is amazing. The editing is leaves a lot to be desired, but would you go through the experience again?
Yeah, I mean, if they were to ask me, would you play tomorrow? I would probably say no, just because obviously, not in the mindset right now to play again right now. But in saying that, I love the game. I respect the game. And I could see myself playing again in the future if I was asked. But I would love to play a season that, you know, something a little different, something like either like fans versus favorites or blood versus water, not just like an all return season. I think it would be good to be mixed up a little bit. But yeah, I love Survivor. I'm a huge fan. I would play again in the future if I was asked, but if I was asked to play, like go back next week, probably not. I need a little bit of a break.
Who would be your partner on a blood versus water?
Definitely my fiance.
Benry's brother, right? Is your fiance.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be cool, cross franchise stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, maybe they could do a USA versus Australia. That would be fun. I'd love to be a part of that. But yeah, I think JJ in particular would be an amazing player if there ever was a blood versus water and if I was asked to play again. But this is something that may never happen, or if it was to happen, it'd be like 10 years down the track.
I say, like, let's get the whole Henry family out there now, including yourself, and just make it a whole family affair.
Might as well. I mean, his brother's been on it, I've been on it. We just need to get him on it now.
Did that influence you going on the show, the fact that Benry had been on it, or is that just completely isolated from each other?
Definitely, because Ben was on it in 2010 and JJ and I met in 2011 and we became huge Survivor fans. So I was a very big Survivor fan before going on. It's not like, you know, a lot of the other players, and I'd never watched it before. I'd only watched an episode. I was watching it for years and we were both massive fans. And as soon as they said that Australian Survivor was coming, to Australia and, for season one, I was onto it and I applied and thankfully I got on because it has changed my life. And, I'm very grateful for the first experience and I'm even grateful for the second experience too. They were both very different, but both amazing in their own ways.
The ripple effects of Australian Survivor of Benry playing are truly stunning.
Exactly. Thanks, Ben.
Well, we were very happy to see you and we wish we could have seen more, but I wanted to wish you congratulations on your engagement as well. And
thank you so much.
Hope the wedding planning's going okay. I know it can be a lot, but thank you so much for coming onto the podcast.
Thank you so much, Shannon. I really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Have a good day. Bye.
Okay, everyone, there you have it. 4 exit interviews from 4 really big characters in their own way. There's some variance there, but you know, big characters to all of us. So I hope you guys enjoyed that. There is so much going on. I really hope you're subscribed to the International Survivor Happens feed where you can get all of this. Survivor Global this week with Mike Fenta, my recap with Pia Miranda, which should be out. So a lot going on. Next week, the recap will be with Mike Bloom. I feel like it's been a very good lineup of guests, if I say so myself, and all the interviews so far, all the ex interviews, which is really exciting. So I hope that you guys have enjoyed everything. Please follow me at Shannon Gates, where you will see all of that content on Instagram and on Twitter. But until then, I will see you on the next podcast. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor
is saying.
Survivor
New Zealand.
Survivor.
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 21 South Africans. 12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Vincent Middle.
Give them the swimmer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shkel.
1 million rubli.
Tribe spoke.
Scheibe tot der Schiff.
Tribe spoke.
For the adventure of a lifetime.
The adventure of a lifetime.
Adventure of a lifetime.